This week, we're going back in time to talk about how bullying was for us in the 80s and 90s. We'll dive right into it after I hit this music. Joining me this week is actor and comedian Avery Mason. You may have seen him on Power on Starz Network and The Punisher on Disney Plus. Avery, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, Tim, man. Thanks for having me, man. What an awesome opportunity, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on my podcast as well to spread more awareness about bullying. And I'd like to dive right into it. Go ahead and share us some insight about what it was like growing up in New York.
Well, I know a lot of your viewers might be shocked to hear this, but I was bullied. And when I tell people that, they kind of like give me a strange look, dude, because you see me, I'm 6'4", about 255, 260. And they're like, whoever bullied you had to be at least 8 feet tall. And I tell people I was not born this height or size. I kind of grew into it. I was the shortest person in my family until about my junior year in high school. So I'm talking shorter than my mom, shorter than both of my sisters. And as a matter of fact, people thought both of them were older than me when it wasn't like that. So I would go to school and I didn't know how to fight. And I wasn't a comedian back then. So, you know, I really didn't have a lot of comebacks when the kids would mess with me. So I kind of never really spoke up for myself. So the kids would like taunt me mercilessly, call me names. It was one of those things that you just, I don't know. My mother really didn't want me fighting. And like I said, I didn't know how to fight anyway. So I think a lot of that, and not speaking up for myself, a lot of that is what maybe made me more susceptible to it, if that makes sense to you listeners.
Yeah.
So this continues on from elementary to junior high school. Got worse in junior high school because my mother was one of those mothers. First day of school, she sends you to school like dressed like you're going to a job interview. Like I was dressed like I was going to church for the first day of school. I had on dress shoes, dress socks, dress pants, a shirt, and a tie. And I'm like, I remember begging my mother. I said, "Mom, please." That first day of school was rough because I went there dressed, and even the teachers were like, "You here for a job interview or seventh grade? Like, what are you here for?" Day one, that just the kids, they saw that and it was just downhill from there, dude. And then high school was probably where it ended for two reasons. One I shared with you earlier was that I got tall. I had my growth spurt and then I shot up to about 6'4". And the physical bullying that, When that growth spurt happened, the physical bullying immediately stopped. Like everyone was like,
"So going back to your elementary days, that outfit you wore to school the very first day, was that kind of the kickoff point to like, hey, I'm going to pick on this guy?"
Yep, because none of the other kids were dressed like that, and the part of Brooklyn I lived in, it wasn't crazy affluent. Like people didn't have a ton of money, so it was kind of a rough area, and they saw that. It's because you know the next day I came to school dressed regular. Everyone was like, "Oh, what happened? What happened? Wall Street? You lose your job?" Like it was one of those.
Was it always the same kid picking on you?
No, but it was a bunch of different kids. You know, and when you don't speak up for yourself, when you don't look people in the eye when you're talking to them, it kind of makes people feel like they can take advantage of you because you know he's not going to speak up either. So. That's kind of what the problem was. I didn't have the kind of voice I have now. I was just very, you know, I didn't know how to speak up or fight back.
And we're roughly the same age. I'm 44. And I looked you up online. You're 44 as well. So we went to school around the exact same time.
So we did. I remember, 80s babies.
80s, yes. I remember going to school and if you're getting picked on, it's like just part of life. Like, you know, it's toughening it up. Teachers didn't seem to get worried about it. Just kids.
Yeah, that's true. We grew up in a rough time. People think it's hard now for kids in school, and it is to an extent, but you know, because there's online bullying. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, online bullying, but you could always just turn the laptop off or turn the phone off or just block the person. There was no way to block my bullies. Like, I couldn't walk into school and go, "Blocked, not today, Maurice." Maurice was like, "I don't care. I'm here every day. So are you. You're getting it." So yeah, we grew up. My teachers, like you said, they some of them were like, "Oh, it's just kids being kids, you know, toughen you up a little bit." But it gets to a point where it's like you got to come to school every day, like deal with this. kind of get tired of it.
What was the worst part of the day for you in school?
For the lunchtime, recess.
Yeah.
Because the teachers weren't there. You maybe had, I don't know how many, you mentioned to me you came from, or I don't know if you lived in a small town, you came from a smaller town, about 50,000
people. I came
from
a small town. Yeah.
Okay. So the class sizes were, you know, how big was your class?
In elementary, I believe I was in a smaller town. I was in Cokato in Litchfield, Minnesota. We had maybe about 25 kids in a class.
Wow. Do you know how many kids I had in my class on average? 35.
Wow.
And two teachers, the main teacher and the power professional, the assistant teacher. So when lunchtime came, they would send us all down to lunch. Now, mind you, there's a bunch of different classes in this New York City public school, hundreds, maybe thousands of kids in one school, maybe like 1,000 to 2,000. It sounds low, but I'm not too sure of the numbers, but it was just a lot of kids. Imagine 35 kids a class, a bunch of different classes. The grades go, we went from kindergarten to sixth grade in my school. So first and second would go down together, third and fourth, you know, and so on and so forth. So many kids and maybe a handful of teachers around. So there was a lot of space for mischief to like happen. You know what I mean? Like, there was no way those four people were going to see, you know, even with all those kids, they're not going to see everything. So that was, I hated lunch. I would try to hide. I would try to like go down and then like kind of go in the bathroom and hide sometimes, but you know, didn't work out so well.
Yeah. I remember recess was pretty intimidating because in Cokato, our school was K through 12 and you'd see the high schoolers. Now in the late 80s, we had like the hard rock, the long hair. And kids would wear the black leather jackets. And to me, that looked scary. That looked scary to me because they had these big stereos, black leather jackets, and they literally hung out in small little gangs. And you didn't want to walk by them because you'd get picked on. So
yeah. It's funny to hear you say that because I'm thinking like where I'm from in New York, it's going to be different like out there. No, you said the exact, it wasn't kids with long jackets in my neighborhood. It was kids with like the eight ball jackets, the backwards fitted hats, baggy jeans and like the high top sneakers. They would have the same exact boombox. They weren't playing rock. They were playing rap. They might have been smoking. Well, not in high school, but in the middle school. Actually, no. Yeah, some of them would be smoking, but you knew. You always knew the vibe of like, oh man, I'm gonna walk past these guys. They're gonna ask me for a quarter. They're gonna ask me for my lunch ticket. Like you just knew. There was, you could always get the energy off of them of like, oh, it's about to be a problem. That's crazy to hear that. Wow.
Yeah, I remember being in school, like they even show this in the movies, like with the kids sitting there at the desk dreading for 3 o'clock to come by because I had to walk home and I'll have to like try to, you know, take a different route or try to just go there as fast as I can to avoid getting picked on. And I remember I had to run into a post office in Cokato because a kid was chasing me on his bike and the postmaster came out and yelled at him. But this is a small town. Cocado's got like 5,000 people in it.
And that's crazy, man.
Just being young.
Dude, we're so different. You know what I mean? We grew up in different like towns and different experiences, but that you said that happened to me, man. Like, so I remember I'm the only boy in my family, okay? Like I told you, don't know how to fight. You see how I get dressed to school. I remember I was coming home from school one day and like, I don't know, I just I was in a good place. I was walking, I was happy, and then like I see this group of boys. Like off the distance was like seven of them. And I can tell like it's going to be a problem because they're like jumping on the back of buses. The New York City buses are pretty big. They were jumping in the street and riding the back of them and jumping off at the lights. And then like, you know, I could just tell they were just up to no good, bro. You just get the energy because you see they're doing stuff and it's like they're kicking over trash cans. I'm like, ah, it's going to be a problem. So I try to walk down another street so they don't see me. But one of them saw me as I went down another street and like they all kind of like started running up to me and then like I'm trying to be cool and he puts his hand on my book bag. He's like, give me your bag. Think fast. What do you do? I'm looking around, can't fight him. I say, I'm like, okay, no problem. Just give me a second. Let me get my books out and let me get it off. As soon as he took his hand off, man, I ran. New York City is a city of like millions of people, but I swear to God, I turned around, there was nobody on the street. So I was like, yo, who can help me? There's nobody there. Like, I run and these guys are fast. They were like, I mean, the biggest one must have been like 17 and I was like maybe 13 at the time, but I managed to run far enough, but he still caught up to me. And then right as he was about to grab me, I saw this like guy walking. I'm like, I just ran behind him and said, yo, they are trying to rob me. Now, mind you, I'm from New York City. You're from, where is it again?
I'm from Mankato, Minnesota.
I'm sure there are people in Mankato, Minnesota who are very friendly. When you walk up to them, you say hello, hi, they may respond hi back. In New York City, that is not the case. When I ran up to this man, he's like, yo, whoa, whoa, get away from me. I'm like, yo, they're trying to rob me. And then like something in my voice, it must have, he could hear how scared I was. So he was like, okay, okay, okay. And so he got the boys like, hey, yo, leave him alone. Get out of here. You know, like just like, that's crazy. He said it. So he reminded me of that, dude. That's, you. I would think it would be better out there, but like, no, it's all the same. The league is the same everywhere, dude. That's crazy.
No, there's, you know, Minnesota is known for Minnesota nice, but we still got our
jerks. Yeah.
I'm curious, how tall were you? Because you said you were smaller than your mom and now you're 6'4".
Yeah.
How tall were you in elementary on average? I mean, obviously, you grew from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Yeah. I was average height in elementary school. Junior high school for us here in New York is like seventh and eighth grade. Some places start at six. So 6 to 8 would be junior high. In junior high, I got a little taller, but my mother is 5'9". I want to say I was 5 foot in high school, 5'6", maybe 5'5". I was scrawny. So like, yeah. I came from a tall family, but like I said, I was a late bloomer. So yeah, this, the physical stuff was bad up until I got my growth spurt and then I magically just.
So when you said physical, are kids just pounding you every day? Or what's going on? Like, how is this physical stuff happening to you?
Pounding me is crazy. It was so, okay. So where I went to high school, I went to John Dewey High School in Brooklyn, New York, and it's near the projects, New York NYCHA housing, public housing, kind of a rough area called Marlboro Project. Okay, it's called Marlboro. I don't know. You draw the pictures in your head. It's like, how do I describe it? And at that time in the 90s, yeah, it might have been just like what you see on TV. Honestly, if you were watching shows about New York that time, that was what Marlboro Project was like. It was a rough place. So the kids, my school was right next to those projects. They would come over during recess or at the end of the day and just rob kids, like, you know, beat people up, take their stuff. It happened a lot. It was, they would, you know, you tell them no, and they would just, you know, they would jump you and beat you up and take your stuff. And then you'd have to go home and come back the next day and like survive again. So that's what I mean. That's the physical stuff. Like you're robbed, you know, getting, you know, pushed around.
Going back to the school bullying, you're in New York or you're in Brooklyn, New York. Did the teachers try to help prevent any of the kids being picked on? Where their hands kind of tied, there's just too many of them, they're outnumbered. Like, what did the school do back then?
My issue is I didn't really speak up enough. Like, when I told the teachers something was going on, they would do something, okay? But a lot of the times, I was afraid there would be worse repercussions if I told the teacher what the bullies were doing or messing with me than if, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I would just kept my mouth shut. Like, I'm going to tell, the bully's going to get angry. Oh, you told on him. Now we're going to, you know what I mean? So I didn't always tell. When the teachers would see things, they would do things. But unfortunately, one of the classes I remember, you know, the teacher himself was being bullied and got into a fight with one of the students, which, you know, that was a scary thing to see. Like, this kid, his name is Nishan. He was taller, as tall as the teacher. And, you know, something happened and they started fighting in school.
Yeah.
It was, that's the kind of school I went to. This
was so a crazy time. That was in L.A. Last weekend, I had to do this speech, and I was talking to the Gen Z's and Alpha generation. So I try somehow keep it more towards them. I talked about social media, and I had to go all the way back. I was at the gym one day. I was listening to Tupac Changes, and he's talking about even in the, you know, this was recorded like in 1992, how bad the world is right now, that they have to do basically they have to do illegal things to survive. And that was like 30 some years ago. Mm-hmm. And we haven't changed yet.
Yeah, no, I think the part you're talking about where he's like, he had to sell dope to the kids. He's like, I gotta make a living, but you did it in a sleazy way. Selling dope to the kids, hey, I gotta get paid. He's like, hey, that's just the way it is. Yeah.
we as a society, we know like when your kids graduate high school, you want to toughen them up. They got to be tough for the world. But why? Why are we okay with that mentality that the world is going to treat us bad?
I guess it depends on like your upbringing and where you're at. But I also think, dude, honestly, I think times have changed. When you and I were growing up, bullying really wasn't as big an issue, like in terms of the public spotlight that it is now. Like you said, you would, and even I mentioned, you would tell people you were being bullied, and either they would do something about it, or they say, hey, you know, you gotta just speak up. It's so much more than that, and I'm so happy to see that now things are kind of like, you know, there's stuff on TV about kids not being bullying, people using their words and talking through things. Like, I have a son, and I have anxiety when I think about him going to school and being bullied, because he's at the age that I was when I remember my first time being bullied in school, which must have been the second grade. But his school is, they do so well in making the kids like get to know each other and having kids, way for kids to use their words to speak. So that for you, for me, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. That was no speaking of words. It was just, if a kid got into a fight in my school, you get suspended. They send them home, and that was it. There was no counseling session. There was no, they suspend, come back the next day. Oh, you told on me, huh? Pound, 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 pound. You know, it's different now.
What would you like to see change, like, in schools to help combat bullying more?
I think what I would do to change it, I would have students spend a lot less time on social media. I think it's one of those things where you will look at some stuff, and then people get the wrong idea of what like real life is. So I think that would help with the bullying stuff. Cause you know, I'm trying to, the kids of this generation look at what people do online and compare their lives to it. Feel like they have to live a certain way, maybe act a certain way, be a certain way. And I don't think like Instagram and TikToks, you know, really necessarily help. So I would probably say maybe limiting how much time you spend on social media would maybe go a long way to helping people just get back to talking to each other and paying attention to what's going on in front of them. You know?
I agree, especially on TikTok. Now, I watch a little bit of TikTok, especially at night when I'm bored. But in my feed, I get these people playing pranks on people at Home Depot. Like, they will throw something at them and they'll cover up.
Yeah.
And kids see that. They don't see that. They don't realize that it could be a stage prank. You know, because some of the stuff is like, obviously the stuff looks staged.
Yeah.
You know, because how do you get good audio? How do you get such good audio, get good reactions and good timing? How do you get that? But kids don't see that. Yeah. So they go out and treat other people badly. Well, at least, and they may think it's a prank too, but problem is, our kid doesn't get it as a prank.
Well, they do it to get views. And I think this is also what goes into what I'm saying. I think it creates a false perception of reality. I don't know if you remember recently, there was a story about a YouTuber who got shot. I don't remember what mall it was, but this YouTuber goes around. He's known for playing pranks on people. And he walked up to this guy, and I don't know what he was saying to him. He was just being odd and, you know, making that noise in his face. And the guy's like, yo, get away from me. I don't know you. Get away from me. And the YouTuber persisted. The guy took out a gun and shot him. So kids are seeing these kind of things, and like, some are impressionable. I'm not saying all. Some are impressionable and kind of do these things they see the YouTubers and the TikTokers do, like you said, and bring it to school. And it's like, that could lead to bullying in a serious way. Oh, it's just all good fun. They were just doing it on TikTok. It's just jokes. But, you know, you might really be messing with someone's day you do some of that. So I don't know if getting rid of it, but my first guess would be maybe a little less social media. Go a long way.
When you were growing up, did you have like a group of friends to kind of, you know, turn to, kind of support you?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Not really. That's the truth. I didn't have any friends in elementary school. I'm thinking about junior high school, and didn't have any friends there either. It was I don't think I really made any friends till I got to high school. So for me, I would just turn to my family, my sisters.
Okay.
Really, my mom. Oh.
How did you go from being bullied from school to this great, wonderful actor, comedian? Oof. How did you get your mindset changed over from being that kid with no confidence to now you're in big time shows?
Yeah. I honestly say it takes time, and you got to believe in yourself. I had low self-esteem, and I remember once I got my growth spurt, it kind of helped a little bit, because then I was like, oh wow, people really aren't messing with me. But you know, I could still be tall and still have the mindset of someone who's 5'5" or shorter. So for me, it was just about gaining my confidence by just talking to people and maybe taking some self-defense classes. That helped me too. I learned, you know, karate. I did some MMA. So it kind of really helped the confidence of knowing how to handle myself, and then just living life. And you learn, you know, how to speak up for yourself in situations. When I went to college, I learned a lot about myself and, you know, regaining my self-esteem and, you know, confidence. So that went a long way to help. So we'll fast forward. I'm going to skip a few things because it's a long story about how I got to acting. Yeah. But my confidence came from me performing stand-up comedy in front of people. When I was in college, I was a DJ and I had my own radio show. So I learned how to talk and speak, tell jokes. I would DJ in front of people, tell jokes, and that kind of helped my self-esteem, my self-confidence, talking to, you know, parties or crowds of people, whatever. I get my degree, come down to New York City. I start working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Did it for about 7 years, and I was not very happy at that job. And I ended up quitting, and I started doing stand-up comedy full-time, but I wasn't making any money. I had a friend tell me, hey, why don't you try background acting and do comedy and then background acting and then make some money? And that is where I got into acting, right at that point.
Yeah, Jack, old thoughts and feelings, like for me, especially with public speaking, I'm new to it. Mm-hmm. I get super nervous and I keep worrying about what other people think of me. Mm-hmm. You did stand-up comedy, which has got to be one of the hardest things to do, because you can, if you suck, you're going to hear about it.
Usually,
how do you try to avoid your past experiences and get that positivity level and not care what people think?
Well, it wasn't easy because, you know, for a while when I'd be doing stand-up, I'd have hard time making eye contact with people. And that's one of the most important things in doing stand-up. The only way I can think to tell you to get over that would be to continue to practice getting up in front of people, because that's the only way you're going to get better at it. My sister, even my wife, are always amazed at like how I can talk to rooms of people. Don't you get nervous? Nah, because you do it so much that you kind of become, you know, immune to it. Like it doesn't become as much of an issue because you do it so much. Now you just kind of like, all right, I can do this with my eyes closed. And I'd also say practice. Practicing whatever it is you're going to say before you say it a couple times. Get it in your system, and then you could do it with your eyes closed, upside down, whatever. You could recite whatever it is I was trying to say. So that's kind of how I did my my stand-up. I practice my jokes at home. I go practice them at different mics, and when I would do the shows, muscle memory, and I would just, you know, spit it out. And people, the people weren't even there. I was just in my bedroom, you know, saying these jokes.
I'm going to kind of back up here a little bit. Through high school, like when you hit that growth spurt, it took time to build that self-esteem up.
Yeah.
What types of activities? So you're doing martial arts, MMA, any other activities you kind of did to kind of slowly increase your self-esteem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it was. Like I said, I was 6'4", but I still had the mindset of someone who was, you know, 5'5", and not, you know, who used to be bullied. So you have to really, you know, step outside of yourself, go get involved. Like I say, karate, do some sports. I joined the band. You know, it kind of, those things kind of build you up and get you out of your shell. Yeah. At least for me, they did.
I think one good thing that we had, one positive thing that we've had when we were kids is the technology, the iPads. Because if I would have had that iPad, I probably would have joined martial arts.
So, oh my God. What did we have in the 80s? We didn't have the iPad. What was it? I'm trying to remember what it was.
We had Tiger electronic toys. The little handheld toys.
Tamagotchi. Did you ever have a Tamagotchi?
I never had that.
Yeah, I had the electronic stuff, the digital stuff. I think our generation was the last one to play with toys, honestly, because I remember growing up having like G.I. Joe action figures and Transformers. My son has no interest in any of those like action figures. He's all about his tablet, Minecraft, Fortnite. So I was into that. I had wrestling comic books, but these kids like, oh, I got my iPad.
But I think the key was, for you is you stayed active. You weren't in front of like we still had Nintendo back in the '80s.
We're
in front of that screen playing Nintendo. You're out there, you know, learning new skills, which also helps grow your confidence up. Was there every time where you wanted to quit something because it was too hard and your mom said, nope, you're going to keep doing that? Or did you always kind of just have that drive, like, I'm going to get better,
I needed motivation. I did. There were times when I did want to quit karate because I wasn't getting it. But my mother was like, hey, for these lessons, you have to go. You say you're going to do something, you got to do it.
Avery, any advice for parents with kids with low self-esteem who are trying to work on that self-confidence issues? Because it obviously takes time.
Yeah.
Any words of advice for those parents on how they can keep their kids motivated?
I'm actually there myself now with that with my son. He has some confidence issues, but what I do, maybe you could try, is sometimes I'll give him tasks that I know he can do. And even if he doesn't do them perfectly, I still praise him. Say, hey, man, you did a great job. There's a couple of things that we could fix, but man, this is wonderful. You know, you offer praise, you tell him he's doing a great job. And I would also recommend getting your child maybe involved in a sport or extracurricular of some kind that gets them outside the house, gets them around other kids that are kind of in the same mental space. It's very helpful to be around others that you admire. I got my son in basketball right now, and you know, he's playing on a team and he's making friends, and it's really, you can see the confidence coming out of him as he's playing on the court. Because when he first started, he didn't know anything about playing basketball.
Yeah.
And he learned how to play with others and on a team, and now he looks forward to it.
Yeah, I 100% agree, especially when you're around with sports. Kids are learning those problem-solving skills.
Yep.
They're learning how to work as a team, and they're getting that instant praise from kids their own age instead of parents saying, oh, well, I think you did good. No, that has no worth, usually sometimes, especially in front of friends. But when your friends say it to you, that makes a big difference for kids. If people want to follow you, get in touch with you, or see what you're up to, where can they do that?
All your listeners to know, if they wanted to keep up with me and what I'm doing on social media, you can follow me at Avery Mason Official on Instagram, Avery Mason Official on TikTok, The Avery Mason on Twitter, and www.averymasonofficial.com. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And hope to talk to you soon.
Avery, thanks again. And for myself, you can always find us at our very own website, which is www.breakingbullying.com. You can also reach out to us at our email address if you have a story of your own bullying to share, or for whatever reason you want to get a hold of us. Our email address is breakbullyinghere@gmail.com. Now, if you're a victim of bullying and you don't know where to turn, there is online resources to help you. The first is the government's very own anti-bullying website, and the address is www.stopbullying.gov. And other online resource is www.pacer.org/bullying. Now, if you have had thoughts of suicide or of self-harm, we implore you to stop. Reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. That number is very simple. It's 988. I'm Tim Flynn, and thank you for listening, and we will be back next week to continue the conversation to break the silence on bullying.